Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
All right, welcome to the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause here on WWDB Talk 860. This is our holiday special. We've got a fantastic broadcast in the driver's seat for Krause. This is J. Doc, and so much to celebrate around the Delaware Valley and within our union community. So much going on with the 76ers arena and being a successful endeavor. So it's going to be a great year. Having said that, I am ecstatic to be on location here at DC 33 with DC 33 leadership. Greg Bulwer, president of District Council 33. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure. And, of course, Antoine Little, vice president, District Council 33. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for having us back. We just were here a couple weeks ago. But, you know, certainly since that time, okay, a lot has gone on. And I want to start off by asking, this time last year, right? I mean, you guys are largely responsible for bringing this community here and this union community together, okay? It's been an incredible, but could you imagine this time last year where we'd be right here where we're at right now? So much has happened. It's been incredible. And it's exciting for us to see leadership that is bringing the whole team together. Your thoughts?
Listen, in union, it's a day-to-day process. So you never know exactly what the next day is going to hold for you. So we do what we have to do at the moment. We embrace it. We move forward, and we just take the next challenge on, and we just keep building. So we're grateful to be here. It's been a long year.
Oh yeah.
It's been a lot has been learned. A lot has been done, and there's a lot more to do. So
absolutely, Antoine, you're. Your thoughts this time last year and here we are today?
I mean, this time last year compared to now, it's like night and day, and it's just like, wow, you have an opportunity to make a difference for the men and women that serve this great city day in and day out. And having the opportunity to do this is flattering and it's appreciated and it's humbling and all of those great words that you can use. It's much appreciated.
Well, what's amazing is, I've had this conversation with a number of labor leaders. One thing I thought of, okay, at our first show together, which was fantastic, was obviously solidarity, but also a strong leadership, okay? And one of the things about great leadership, and Greg, you were talking about, you were embracing, okay, the massive responsibility to negotiate for over 5,000 individuals. But you're really not just doing that. The city of Philadelphia, the citizens of the city of Philadelphia, in a sense, are they're a part of the equation.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so there's no anybody who forgets that. Consequential unions in the city, and I am a building tradesman. So if God forbid the iron workers, whatever, were on strike when I was out in the field, it would suck. I mean, our union would feel it. There'd be a thousand families, but I imagine the city could get by if there were a couple weeks where jobs weren't on time, even a month or two. You take your workforce and they're not on the job after a week, okay, the city shuts down and panic sets in. So the responsibility of representing that membership, okay, and sitting here successfully. We have a holiday season where things are going to happen in the city of Philadelphia, all of our, necessities, our sanitation department, everything that's gone on, is happening because you guys were successful and your members were a part of that equation. But what got me the most was the fact that you were embracing that, okay? Looking back on the last month, what are your thoughts in regards to the whole situation?
Well, there was a lot that went on during this time, and it was an ever evolving situation at the time, right? So I absolutely embrace the responsibility of what goes on, and I consider every aspect of what happens, right? And I'm always going to try to do what I believe is best for the overall body of my membership and this union. And I think at the moment we did what was necessary to be done. Our members right now can go through the holiday season and enjoy their families, and the city of Philadelphia can know that services will continue to go on and those things will happen. However, we want to continue to make sure we're pushing our message and letting the citizens of Philadelphia know how vital our members are every single day to the city being able to thrive. Right. I mean, we've got commercials out now. We've got social media pressing out there now because some people forget about it. Right. You wake up and you take certain things for granted.
Yeah.
And you don't think about it. But we're making sure we're emphasizing how important it is for our health department workers and our correctional officers and our water department workers when they turn water on. And as you already mentioned, sanitation and the parks and recs when people want to go out and have a nice time and take a walk. And, those library workers who are providing educational programs to, kids every single day. And those crossing guards that are out there walking the children across the street every single day. Those things are out there. They're vital. Right?
They're vital services.
Absolutely. So we're making sure we're putting it out there. We're going to enjoy the holiday for the moment, and then we're gonna retool and get right back to the negotiating table in January and start working on this long-term deal so our members can feel good and feel comfortable and look at what their financial outlook, and hopefully it's a more prosperous situation than it is right now. So what we feel like is we've established a stepping stone in the right direction.
Yeah, and with city leadership, obviously the mayor's office, it's the holiday season, and you mentioned that. Okay, first of all, you send a message, okay? It, obviously, it's a stepping stone. It's not where you want to end up, but it's a shot at good faith, okay? And in a sense, trust in the word of who you're negotiating. But what did you want the mayor's office and the city of Philadelphia, the administrative city of Philadelphia, to know about the union and the leadership in regards to, this particular negotiation, and then, of course, moving forward?
I think that there was a thought that the union was fractured and the union was broken. And I think that we demonstrated that we are very much together when the causes are in the right direction, right? We showed the city when we showed up with almost 3,000 members at City Hall. We showed the member when we took the strike vote and let them know that we were serious about needing improvements to a lot of our situations that we had going on. And I think that ultimately made a heck of an impact moving forward with the situation, and it will make an impact as we continue to keep moving forward, because we're not going to lay dormant and just sit around and just accept the status quo for certain things. We're going to continue to press the envelope and keep pressing forward because our members deserve it.
It's interesting because, that perception that the city may have had, okay, I will say this, the first, we met about a month ago. I was excited at the same time not having any idea what to expect. And I left here going, okay, they're in good shape and they're not, the trust factor and the solidarity right here is, it wasn't that I didn't expect it. I just didn't know what to expect. I'm assuming, you walk in and you're in the middle of negotiations. Once they see you're not united, especially the two of us right here, okay, then you got their attention, and they know that, there's a solidarity in the union. Let's talk a little bit about an interesting, we did a show last week with Brian Pollitt, okay? And Brian is the president of TW234, and he couldn't say enough good things about you, okay? And he talked about a situation, okay, in his negotiations. Now, you shut down District Council 33 and TWU-234. People are going to be calling realtors after a couple weeks, not a month. A month, at that point, you're making some decisions on the city. Is it even possible to move forward? Are our tax dollars, are they being handled and managed properly? Because that's... And you guys had a meeting in the middle of negotiations. What he said was, you know, we had conversations about, you know, what our union was going to do at the governor's office. We thought we were in good shape, and then we got ghosted. Okay, we couldn't get, and then all of a sudden, you know, a meeting of the minds with Greg Boulware, Antoine Little, and the leadership of DC 33 and the suburban bus drivers, okay, union, and all of a sudden, the governor's calling them in record time. Okay, I imagine a fly on a wall, and he actually mentioned a diner, which I love that diner, right? But he said when this came out, you know, there was, you know, reporters and you know, talk about that. And really, to me, it was, you know, a union community solidarity and marching is one thing. They'll look at that as an event. You bring three consequential unions together, and it speaks volumes of what the potential are, and they didn't even know what was going on. Talk about that, because it took, I said to you, Greg, it took collective bargaining to a whole nother level.
Well, listen, this is a union strong city in Philadelphia, right? And I had understood about some of the trials and tribulations they were going through over there with their contract situation. And it was actually Antoine that made the connection for us to actually get together. And we met with them and we discussed, you know, where our common situations were going through negotiation, where their struggles were, where our struggles were. And we felt like if we could put our heads together collectively and show a unified front from their local, from our union, and say, hey, listen, we're all going through the same plight right now. And we all need to figure out some kind of way to come to resolution about what's going on. And in Philadelphia, like I said, with the history that's been in Union City, we felt like it was a good stance to be able to stand in solidarity with them.
I don't know if it's ever been done. I'm not sure if... something like that. By the way, Antoine, you made the connection
I met Brian some years ago. Real good guy.
Awesome guy.
And his team over there at 234.
Joe Cochio, Billy Bannon, the whole crew. Yeah,
that whole crew. Those guys are phenomenal.
Great guys.
And when we sat down and we talked to them and we saw what their vision was, they heard what our vision was, and we were on the same page in solidarity, like, hey, listen, we're trying to get the best that we can get for our membership, and we need to unify together to let the city know, listen, we're unified. We're like, as President Boulware just said, we're not fractured. We're here, and we're here to stand tall for the men and women that we represent here at District Council 33 and the men and women that they represent over there at Local 234.
No kidding. And I can say that it may be a new model, to be honest with you. You get consequential unions where, you know, you got the governor's attention in record time. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Okay, we only have two segments with you guys, and I want to take advantage of it. I mean, I'm so excited to be here. We'll have more from The Labor Show with J. Dot and Krause in just a minute.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence, completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, Business Manager.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, business manager. God bless America.
Hey everyone, this is Krause of Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, proudly presented by Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. Buying your next car online is just a call, click, or email away. Let Jim Stevenson handle your union family's next purchase right from the convenience of your home. Email Jim right now at jstevenson@chapmanautogroup.com. Remember, if you're a member of the building trades, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000, option number 6. If your union is a member of the AFL-CIO, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000. Buy your next vehicle or lease your fleet right now online from the only man in Philadelphia that has supported every union effort with unconditional effort. Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard says, union yes. Get the Stevenson difference. He supports and drives the union community. IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. What it means is simple. Every large-scale event in the city of Philadelphia on the Parkway, at the Wells Fargo Center, the Convention Center, or in the Kimmel Center is created and executed by IATSE. These dedicated union members proudly serve the city of Philadelphia and the millions of people that are directly affected by their work. IATSE Local Number 8, Mike Barnes, President and Business Manager.
All right, welcome back to the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. This is J. Doc in the driver's seat for Krause. I'm here with the leadership of District Council 33, President Greg Boulware and Vice President Antoine Little. And we, before we went to break, we talked about the meeting that you had had with Brian Pollitt and the crew over at TW 234 and the suburban bus drivers in the middle of negotiations with all of you. And it turned out, obviously very well. In a lot of ways, pretty similar. Because TWU 234 was also in a position where they're creating a good faith relationship in order to move forward when they get their funding. Coming from your standpoint, how did that move the needle? Did that because with those guys, the mere presence of all three entities, having breakfast together, totally moved the needle. How did that impact your situation, and did word get out in your areas?
Well, yeah, it absolutely got out, and I made it very clear. I made no bones about it. We were standing with them, and if the opportunity presented where there was a need for both entities to go out, that we would go out in solidarity and unity, and probably do something that had not been seen in this city and maybe ever. Mm. We got together and we sat and we broke bread and we talked about the potential of how that looked and where we were as far as timelines and strike votes and those things like that, and media caught wind and came by, and I think it was very impactful. Those gentlemen, as leaders over there, they did a phenomenal job representing their people over there. And the word got out about it. And within a few hours, it got around everywhere. And there was a lot of phone calls being made, a lot of information being shared. And thankfully, they were able to come to a resolution with their situation. And, our situation is a little different than theirs. But fortunately, we were able to come to a resolution for ours as well. It didn't look so... The prospects didn't look so great for a little bit, because there was multiple times during those negotiation periods that we were Absolutely.
Considering.
Not considering. We were absolutely going to walk out of that door. It was very, very close.
Antoine, show me an inch away. Yeah. Right.
Less than an inch away. Unfortunately, cooler heads prevailed, and we were able to get something done temporarily so we can get back to the table. We got some language that we got on the books that puts us right back at the negotiation table in about 4 weeks.
Okay, so we talked about it before, but negotiating in the public eye, okay, it's not something that happens for every labor leader, okay? And nobody over the years, okay, District Council 33 has been on, you know, literally at the forefront of the news and all that. When you guys have that conversation, when it's time, the media knows, and we and the city knows what the consequential, you know, services are. What's the different dynamic there? Because like you said, Greg, that you walked out there and the media was... And the media is all over the place. That is not something that every one of our great labor leaders has to deal with in the middle of, their negotiations.
There's a fine line, right? Because you want to demonstrate that you are solid in your position about what's going on.
Sure.
You want to express out to the city what exactly is going on so they understand what's happening. And at the same time, while you're negotiating, you don't want to put yourself in a position where there's no more dialogue, right? Because it's important to continuously keep talking, right? And so now if you do that, you've just drawn a line of sand and maybe you don't have the opportunity to come to a compromise, right? Because that's what negotiation is, compromise. So both parties have feel like when they walk away with it, they walked away with something that's beneficial to them and everybody can you know, move forward in that respect. So, you know, it's not an easy thing, right? There's a lot of people that have different feelings all over the place, and everybody's absolutely entitled to. And my membership is very varied in their thought process about what goes on. But I appreciate the opportunity for them to have me here and to have Antoine here for us to continue to keep doing what we do. And we're going to continue to keep fighting for our people.
What's interesting about what you just said, okay, and I've had this conversation. My dad was a labor leader for 40 years with the Ironworkers Union. And it's a lot like... you know, your union in the fact that you have some strong-willed, you know, powerful people. Like, in other words, you know, these guys are out there and their will is strong, okay? So you need strong leadership, okay? And I always, having watched my father and having watched other union leaders that even in our union, the one factor... And I get it. What you know, right through what you just said is having the best interest of the members, you know, and sometimes, you know, you're not going to get the whole kit and caboodle today, okay? And that, by the way, you know, you're going to have strong voices, okay? But that is a what great leadership is all about. You may not be, like I said, the gold ring may not come today, but we're, you know, here's the plan, okay? Talk about the importance of the members understanding that, you know, they come first and you're in their best interest, but you have to be strong enough to be able to sit there and you know, give them the news and the process. Talk, and by the way, and having two individuals like yourselves who can trust each other, who have each other's backs when you're going to get, you know, when you're going to get, you know, strong personalities on that floor.
Yeah, like, you know, we mentioned it last time. You have to have trust in each other. You have to be clear and have open communication about what's going on. And you're not always going to come to terms on certain things at certain times, right? But there has to be a mutual respect and understanding that the members are first and foremost and paramount about what our decision-making is going to be. And so I think we've gotten to that point. You know,
Antoine's up in that one. One thing about our membership that we know, they're not going to pull any punches. If they're not happy, they're not satisfied, they will let us know. And we can appreciate that because what that does is it lets us know, hey, do we need to keep treading this path or do we need to pivot and go in a different direction? And, you know, being in this union business for over 25 years for myself, you know, sometimes you have to be the bearer of bad news and say, hey, like, this is not going to go in the direction that we thought it was going to go. We have to pivot because we have to try to forge another path.
Sure.
But, you know, overall, I think, you know, this process has taught us a lot and prepare us for the next process.
Sure. I mean, and it's interesting, you know, because when you have the member, and by the way, the being strong-willed, but also listening to your membership, understanding their challenges, and understanding what's going on. But still, like you said, you're going to have strong-willed people standing up. Mm-hmm. Your character has to be, as high as it could possibly be to understand, not to fold, mm-hmm. and understand that no matter if somebody's happy or they're not happy, you're operating in their best interest. And when I see stuff like that, I go, okay, when it comes down to it, people know one thing. Not everybody, like you said, not everybody's going to agree on it. You're going to be here a long, long time, okay? And guess what? But it's the character and understand that when that member leaves, they may have any other, but they know that they got individuals here that got their back and that their livelihood and their family is on the line. Next, what's next in that area? And what were the key issues and areas where there were no concessions, where there's no, here's a, we're not backing off on this. What are some of the key issues that, obviously wages are always a major key, but when you walk into negotiations, where's the line drawn?
Well, we hope that line isn't drawn, right? But we understand that the opposition is going to have their marching orders, right? So our goal is, again, is always going to be contractual raises for our members to increase their economic standing. Job specifications, which also comes with that, right? So it's not just contractual raises, but it's also going back and reviewing the specs for each of these jobs and knowing that a lot of them have not been reviewed in many, many years and not have a adequate upgrade to their pay along with that, right? So contractual raise alone is not going to do it. There has to be an overhaul of many systems in there that have economic, effects for everything that go on that we need to continue to keep addressing. So those are paramount, pension issues. And a lot of our members are still very staunch about wanting to see residency waivers go on in the city. We look for equitability, and we see it across the board with some of our other brothers and sisters unions across the board where they have it. And, we're looking to be on the same footing as they are. Very simply put, we want our people to be able to be here and have an opportunity to thrive in Philadelphia, be able to live here and continue to serve and provide the services that we provide all across the city. But you have to be able to have some comfort in knowing that you make enough money to be able to pay your bills and support your family and provide and have a home in the city. And those things are essential for our people. So those are the things that we're going to be hammering home more.
What was your impression of the city since you was the first? Obviously it is a new administration, relatively speaking, when it comes to working with the two of you guys and the rest of your members and team here. What feeling did you get in it's in many cases you're establishing a relationship. It's a good faith and all that. Did you get the feeling that they understood the needs of the members and the next time around, you showed good faith.
Here's my thing. I think the city is going to operate in a fashion which they feel like is best for the city and whatever their economic coffers have, right? Our job is to advocate for the members and to express what their needs are and what their essential demands are, right? And so that's our job. So as long as I understand the perspective of what their objectives are going to be and what ours are, then we can work and figure out how we can make some footing somewhere until we can get on the same page about certain things. Because there's going to be some things, honestly, we're just not going to be able to agree on them, right? It's just going to be that way. And I understand that. And that's why this whole process that we just went through was a very good learning process for us. So I do have a little bit of a better bearing on what I see from the city. I think that they, again, understand that we're very serious about any contractual issue that we want to talk about, any topic of conversation. And we want to continue to keep pushing forward to have our members be in a much better position than they currently are. And so while we got this one-year extension, and it's great, and unfortunately nobody had to sacrifice themselves and put themselves on the line, I do understand that we had members that were ready to do it. But we were able to get something that hadn't been done in the city in a very long time, and an economic raise that hadn't been done since the early 80s. So that was a good thing. And now we will use that for a benchmark and continue to keep pressing forward.
Fantastic. We only have a couple minutes left, and I would say, what are you excited about for 2025, the new year coming? with your members, and obviously with your leadership team here and leading this massive union of such consequential services in the city of Philadelphia, that, you know, you got everybody's attention.
I'm excited every day we do this job. I'm super energetic about everything that we do, even on days that don't go so well. So I'm happy to be able to be in this position to be able to serve our members and represent them and speak on their interests. I think we've demonstrated through what we've done so far that we can work together with other unions, let them know we can all stand in solidarity, particularly when we're all forging and forward and trying to do things collectively together.
Did you get calls from other unions? I mean, after that was done, I'm sure. Yeah. That's a benchmark there. I mean, it's a very unique situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the last strongholds in the country for unionization here. And we want to make sure we continue that history, continue to keep going in that direction that way. So it's huge. I want our members to know that we're going to continue to keep fighting for them. I want them to know that they have a chief staff that is consistently talking every day and figuring out new ways on how to educate, teach, learn, and represent their needs. I'm excited for all of that. I'm excited for a new year. We're all here. We're breathing. We're above ground. God bless us all.
And a united team, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and that's exciting, all together right there.
Absolutely.
Guys, I mean, we got about a minute left, and, you know, the holiday season means a lot to a lot. What does the holiday season mean to you guys?
Family.
Yeah.
Is the first thing that comes to mind, you know. And I don't think about just my family. I think about all the families of all the members of District Council 33 and all the services they provide to all of the families across Philadelphia. You know, that's what I think about when the holidays come up, you know. So happy holidays to all of our members. Happy holidays to the city, all the members, all the citizens of Philadelphia. We wish everybody a healthy and prosperous one, and we look forward to getting back to work come 2025.
Fantastic. Well, Antoine, any parting words there?
I mean, just real quick, like piggybacking off of President Bull, where it's like, you know, 2025 is exciting because we have an opportunity to be at the table to be able to make a difference in the men and women lives of District Council 33 as well as their families and what's that, what have you. Just being able to say, hey, we were at the table and we gave everything we had to make sure that you are able to provide for your family. You have a decent retirement. You have health care. You have everything that you need to try to be able to provide for your family.
Well said, President Greg Boulware, District Council 33. I really appreciate your time, sir, and job well done. Antoine Little, Vice President, DC 33, job well done. Happy holidays to you both and your membership.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you as well.
My pleasure. We'll have more from The Labor Show with J. Dot and Krause in just a minute.
This is Wendell Young, President of UFCW Local 1776.
We proudly represent nearly 35,000 members who serve their communities at meatpacking and food processing plants, nursing homes, manufacturing plants, grocery stores, our fine wine and good spirits stores, and in the medical cannabis industry, among others. Our members earn fair wages and good benefits. We give workers a voice in their workplace. To learn more about our union, please visit ufcw1776.org.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
Hi, this is Mark Lynch, Business Manager of IBEW Local 98. Our members are the best educated, best trained electricians and technicians in the construction industry. Our electrical contractor partners do the job right, the first time, every time, safely, on time, and on budget. Find out why we're the best in the business. Visit us at www.IBEW98.org.
Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lee Hockey doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lee Hockey a call.
The great city of Philadelphia and its incredible skyline are being built in part by the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. And did you know schools, libraries, and other public buildings you visit were built with help from the sheet metal workers? Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and hire a member of the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. Their history dates back to the 1800s, serving 23 counties in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Sheet metal workers, Local Union 19, Brian Bush, business manager. Visit them on the web at smwlu19.org. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly skilled. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly trained. Ironworkers Local 401 members execute jobs that require structural steel, concrete structures, towers, and the highest part of a building you can see that is currently under construction. Ironworkers Local 401, a proud member of the Philadelphia Building Trades. Say thanks to a member of Ironworkers Local 401, Kevin Boyle, business manager.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor Show with Jay Dock and Krause. Fantastic segment on location at DC 33 with President of DC 33, Greg Boware, and Vice President Antoine Little of DC 33. And I'm bringing in Joe Krause, who's actually on location today. So it's definitely a unique broadcast, but he's got, you know, some really cool stuff to talk about and miss you in the studio, my friend. But I know you got some good news to talk about, if you will.
Yeah, no, J-Doc, and I don't want to take up any time from your guests. I know you got another good guest coming on to finish up the show. But what a great, incredible, powerful, meaningful day. And give me another 15 adjectives to describe what it was like to be down at Edison, what was Edison 64 High School, which is the Veterans Multicultural Center. We were down there today. We hosted 75 veterans for our Christmas and holiday party, all kinds of activity. We had a holiday and Christmas music, and of course, Krause's coach, now year 21, set up and delivered, and each veteran received with dignity and with respect as they deserve, a brand new coat size to fit. It was just a spectacular day. We just wrapped and finished up about 25 minutes ago, but it was a really, really powerful day.
Awesome.
And that's how I spent my Saturday, and it was a great way to do
Well, you know, I was not going to give you a pass, but what the heck? Joe, that's an incredible event, and what you do with the Krause's coats and the veterans and you know, it's just amazing. I'm so glad, obviously, you shared it with our listener base, and it's really what labor's all about. But it's what Krause is, Joe Krause is all about, and it's and I can't think of a better population, obviously, than our veterans, and of course, our homeless and our youth, who you take care of during the winter. So, cheers.
Not about me, J-Doc. Not about me, brother. And I did want to mention and reference, because Thursday night out at the Countdown to Kickoff show in King of Prussia, Steam Fitters Local 420 showed up and showed out, delivered 240 coats to me out at Screwballs during the Countdown to Kickoff show. And Wednesday, I went up to Steam Fitters Hall and hauled out of there with over 450 kids' coats, which were all courtesy of Local 420. So those individual kids' coats are
awesome.
Allow me, J-Doc, to be able to give. I'm going to take care of three schools in the three toughest parts of the city, and every student in each one of the classrooms will get a coat. That was all part of the Krause coat collection, but those guys really showed out on Thursday night. We talked a little football. Those guys know Eagle football too, that's sure. But it was a really, really good night on Thursday, and just a shout out, not to me, but to the entire union community for the support. I've always said it to you, unions change lives, and they change the lives of people they'll never know. And I think today was just another example.
Awesome, Joe. I mean, I can't thank you enough for sharing that. And obviously, you know, how we all feel about Krause's coach and the difference that is being made every day. And so, you know, you talk about Local 420 and you talk about Jimmy Snell and all of our steam fitters and all of our union members across the city. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say congratulations to all of them, obviously, with the 76ers arena becoming official. So it's fantastic. And I know they're going to do great things for that community. I know there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of people that are uncertain, but I know labor's going to make sure that everybody gets taken care of. So appreciate the call, my brother. Miss you in the studio, and keep up the incredible work. You're changing lives and making a difference. You know, it's so cold out there. Can't thank you enough, brother.
You got it, J-Doc. Have a good finish to the show. Sorry I'm not with you, but I'll catch you on the other side, brother.
You got it, Joe. Thanks so much, my friend.
All right, brother, you got it.
So just Joe does that every year with the labor unions, and we're incredibly appreciative. And I'm going to bring on to the program, because we don't have time to go to a break right now. We're going to go right to our good friend, who is the president of SAG-AFTRA Philadelphia, Nicole Izanek. How are you, Nicole?
Oh, we're doing good. It's been quite a year. How are you doing?
Fantastic. And I know it has been quite a year, and we thank you for coming on the broadcast, one of our holiday last of the end of the year shows. So let's spitfire right down the road, because last time we talked, we were talking about AI, and we're going to touch on that as well. But let's see if we can get everything in here, because you're right. It has been a heck of a year, but like you said, still more work to do, and we appreciate the work you're doing on the local level. And what the national does on the national level. So let's talk about something we've talked about many times. Okay, the PA film tax credit. Okay, touch on that if you will, because we don't have it, we're losing jobs, we're losing tax revenues, the whole deal. We're losing big projects.
Sure. So it's important for us to up our tax incentive. And we had actually gone lobbying this year to the governor's office and to Harrisburg. And we were trying to up it to $300 million for a tax incentive, but we didn't quite cross the line. So, I mean, we have more work to do for that. But it's important because a lot of times when people think of the TV and film industry, they think of the people who are starring in the movie. But when we up our PA tax incentive, it allows us to be competitive with our neighboring states, and it also brings in union work and union jobs, and everything from catering to building trades to hotels to subsidizing local community businesses.
Now,
what
is the tax credit now? I didn't mean that we didn't have it, but we were shooting for $300 million.
And it's been changing. So we were trying to raise it, I think, from $180 to $300. And so some of our film partners that we have in the neighboring states are at like $750 million, et cetera. And so Atlanta has actually been filming lots and lots of stuff with their incentives also. But it really has built in local labor communities and provided jobs. So it's a job creator. It's a massive job creator. So lobbying our local PA government has been a real important part of what we do in our PA SAG-AFTRA community. So in the new year, for sure, we plan to go back in strong and to continue to lobby to try to up our tax incentive. And it remains to be just something that every year we're hitting the pavement. And our larger labor community has been really, really great. But for sure, that's something that there's more work to do in 2025.
Absolutely, no question. And we need to be able to compete with those neighboring states. And we have so many great places, such a rich film community here. I know you guys are carrying the baton on that. And there's so many jobs and opportunities that you guys provide. We got to be able to compete with the neighboring states. Let's talk about AI, okay?
Sure.
You know, it's talk about the safeguards to image and likeness, okay? And the local and national broadcast, you know, as well as TV and film. That's what the strike was about last year. If you would. Where are we with that?
Sure. So it's exciting that we're getting AI language in our local broadcast contracts and also federally. I think that the country is starting to acknowledge what we've been fighting for a long time, and that the idea of somebody's image and likeness, right? Like if there's a basic floor on standards that people have for what they want to do, your AI shouldn't be able to do things that you don't consent to. So besides TV and film, I think having federal legislation and fighting for that, I think lots of communities are starting to take note of that. But certainly in our contract, we were able to lay framework on some basic AI parameters. And then the thought is that we're going to build upon them, you know, with every contract as things evolve. Because nobody, it's like the wild, wild.
Right, right.
So we were able to get informed consent and compensation for creating and using AI digital replicas of our members.
And what does that mean? What does that mean?
So basically, if they're creating an AI digital image of you that's going to walk, talk, and act like you and look like you, that you should be paid for it and you should be able to consent to what it's doing. And this is for living and deceased people because, unfortunately, like when you die, if your image and likeness is doing something, you know, that could be awful. So the idea is we've never dealt with this before and it's becoming a real issue. And now that it's here, how do we give permission for what's going to exist, right? Because if you think of anything from like potentially embarrassing political standpoints to things that somebody could walk, talk, act and do, it just doesn't feel ethical or legal.
Right.
You could create a image of a person and then have them out in this virtual world, you know, selling things, doing things, being things that the person themselves don't represent.
Absolutely. And at one point we were thinking, you know, we talked about the average member, okay? I'm not talking about, you know, Brad Pitt. I'm talking about the average, salary, okay, of an actor can be, you know, $40,000 a year. And this would take work off of individuals who are working for a living out there, you know. Along with what you're talking about, your likeness and image, being able to at least have a say in that. So you guys are stepping in there to make sure that, there's no misconceptions that everybody makes $1 billion and that doesn't matter.
Oh, for sure. And so the lowest paid job is $216 a day, right? So if you paid somebody $216 for the day and then had a digital replica of them and then just used that forever, they would essentially work one day and never get paid again. Which is just completely ridiculous, especially if, you know, there's going to be profit creation off their image and likeness.
Exactly. So let's spit fire on some of the contracts. WHYY has a new 3-year contract, and Power 99 is unionized. I mean, a lot of good things.
Oh, very good things. So WHYY and our larger labor community came out, and our Philly AFL-CIO can't thank them enough. Ever and always, they've always got our back.
Yep. Shout out to Danny Bowder.
Oh my goodness, and Jana Korn, she's pretty incredible, also.
Absolutely.
Danny is the bee's knees with cheese. so we were out, and WHYY, they have a 3-year contract. Their union shop stewards have been amazing, and their entire group that have been willing to fight and rallying around. So they got an outsized wage increase, 3 extra weeks of paid family leave. Increases to their PTO and some other benefits and some artificial intelligence protection. So a big congratulations to them for sure. And then Power 99, I'm thrilled to announce it's been wonderful to have them as part of the team, and they unionized recently as well. And now they're part of the SAG-AFTRA family.
And that's fantastic. It's always great. Listen, so many people are organizing. We have Starbucks and so many workplaces that have never organized. People want to organize, get fair wages, get representation, and it's so great to hear Power 99, one of our stations here, one of our longtime reputable stations. Talk about the strike, the TV, the theatrical streaming strike.
So we were able to get more compensation or a new compensation for performers that work in streaming. That was part of our deal. And that has been great because streaming is sort of, it used to be called new media and it still kind of is but Netflix has been around forever, right? And like everybody has streaming, everybody watches streaming, but to monetize it has been somewhat of an ordeal in trying to pinpoint who is watching, how many people are watching, and what type of advertising space they're selling. And that information is not always public knowledge in that the companies won't disclose their viewership. And if they won't disclose their viewership, it's hard to find a way to monetize that. So we continue to figure out a structure. So that's exciting in our new contract that we are at least making progress in that domain. And there's more work to do there for sure, but I think it's landmark that we're going to be able to quantify, you know, viewership and then sort of track that in a more logical way.
And that was, I think it was the longest strike, okay, in the country since 1997, UPS workers, correct?
That's exactly right.
Let's talk about the informed consent, okay, and compensation for the creation and use of digital replicas. We touched on it, but what does that mean actually?
So every time you do something, and your AI is doing something, you have to give permission, and then you need to be paid for it. So the idea is that you have control over who you are, what you're doing, and then if God forbid something happens where you die, that there is a plan for that, and that the companies that you did work for then can't create new things that your family or your loved one is unaware of.
Okay, so
and hasn't consented.
And the reason I asked this, I just got a text. Okay, somebody who was listening to the broadcast particularly wanted to hear that. It's certainly, just the thought of, by the way, I was talking about, when I thought about the wages and the loss of wages, and to me, that's where my mind goes immediately, but can't even imagine, okay, somebody having their image and likeness in a form that they didn't consent to, okay, that's not like what they originally did, what the original work was about. So, right. That's a big deal. One of the let's do this. Let's take a we're going to take a quick break, okay, and then we're going to come back and we're going to finish up with Nicole Isanek, who's the SAG-AFTRA president here in Philadelphia. We're going to have more from the Labor Show with Jay Dot and Krause in just a minute.
My name is Joe Williams, business manager of Elevator Constructors Local 5. Every day, countless lives are devastated in our country at the hands of the opioid epidemic. Whether sparked by a pain-related work injury or other issues, many of those afflicted are family members, friends, and coworkers. It may even be you in desperate need of help. No one is immune to the effects of this terrible disease. If you or someone you know or love is suffering from addiction to opioids or other substances, don't wait another day to reach out to someone and seek help. Tell a friend, a family member, or a professional now and get the support you need like your life depends on it, because it does. Remember, it's not where you start the race that counts, it's that you finish it that matters most. I'm Joe Williams of Elevator Constructors Local 5. I'm a labor leader and labor cares.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
We are District Council 21. We're the brothers and sisters building the city of brotherly love. We're bringing the highest standards of training, safety, and quality to every project, from Center City to the Jersey Shore. We're rebuilding the region's infrastructure and giving back to our communities, all while earning industry-leading wages and benefits. We're proud of where we're from and where we're going.
Brought to you by the 6,000 members of DC 21.
CWA District 213 serving Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, and West Virginia proudly presents The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause and The Labor and Energy Show, Labor's weekly live radio programs. CWA members are standing up for our communities and fighting to protect the rights of all workers to speak up on the job without fear of retaliation and to make it easier to join unions and bargain fair contracts. We are CWA strong and union strong. Mike Davis, District Vice President.
The entire executive board would like to thank all of the members of AFSCME DC 33. Our mission is simple. We constantly fight for and secure the best wages, benefits, and working conditions for our members, and we stand ready in support of the public server's workers' rights and benefits and hold our politicians accountable for their actions. Find out more at AFSCME33.org. That's AFSCME33.org. AFSCME District Council 33.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause in the driver's seat for Krause. This is J. Doc. I want to thank Krause for calling in. Certainly, the great things he's doing with Krause's Coats and the labor community here, we couldn't be more excited about it. We have Nicole Isanik, who is the president of SAG-AFTRA here in Philadelphia. Nicole, if you would, talk about some of the wage increases and the gains you've had in the recent contract. Pretty substantial.
Sure. So typically when we bargain, our bargaining partner likes to have a pattern. This is what you got last time. This is what we gave to them. So this is what we're giving to you. But the strike changed the game in that it wasn't a typical negotiation. And things have just been really rough. And I know lots of labor communities are feeling that in many different industries. So our general wage increase was 7% when we had settled the strike, and another 4% for the following year. And then it created another 4%. So it was an 11.28% increase So it was 7, 4, and 3.5. For the 3 years, which is a combined 11.28% increase over 3 years. However, our lowest earners were able to get a one-time 11% increase for the first year, which was major. You know, an 11% increase is a big deal
sure.
at a time where the economy is really, really tough. And that was sort of record-breaking. Typically, it's like a 3%, 4%. And it was just such a bad... Our lowest earners needed a raise so bad to the point where 87% of them couldn't clear $30,000. And it's been really, really rough. So getting them an 11% wage increase in the first year when we settled the strike, to me, I think is, in my opinion, was the biggest accomplishment.
And I'll tell you, it's just another reason why joining the union is so important. It's such a job well done. And this is why people want to join the unions when they hear those statistics. We have about a minute and a half, and I want to you have something in the contract, and it's important, and it's additional sexual harassment prevention protections. We don't have long time to talk about it, but if you will just touch on it because it's a big deal.
Sure. Just the idea that if you're doing a job, like if you're a stunt coordinator, the scenes that are dangerous are coordinated. I think when you talk about sexual and hyper-exposed work, it should be the same way, right? And this is just an acknowledgement that it's important for people to feel protected in the workplace, and our industry is no different than anywhere else. So scenes involving nudity and simulated sex, there are additional safeguards for background actors, which are our lowest paid, least protected people. So being part of SAG-AFTRA and being part of our union enables us to have strong safeguards for people that are most likely to be taken advantage of.
And I mean, well said, and it's you're right. And that's what representation is all about. So well done by SAG-AFTRA. And I do want a couple quick shout-outs. SAG-AFTRA member and KYW News radio journalist Patricia Loeb received the Edward R. Murrow Award in the large market radio division. Which is a big deal. So I want to shout that out. And if you will, Nicole Isanik, I want to thank you for being on the program. Any holiday greetings you want to shout out?
Sure. So for me, the labor community has just done such a great job to keep everyone warm, safe, and sustained in a really difficult economy. So I'm just super proud to be part of the union. SAG-AFTRA AFT was my first union. Shout out to the Philly AFL-CIO and just everybody with the family they have and the family they've made along the years to just have food, tradition, and lots of love and keep earning in 2025.
Well said. I want to thank Nicole Izanek, President SAG-AFTRA here in Philadelphia. Of course, Greg Boulware, District Council 33 President, and Vice President Antoine Little. On behalf of Joe Krause and everybody in the union community, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Thanks to TJ. I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.